If you've ever brought home a load of dirty laundry to your parents' house over the holidays, well, here's a way you might improve your karma. If your mom or dad is drowning in spam, can't see their web browser behind all the pop-ups, or if they're simply OWF, operating without a firewall, why not give them an upgrade this year and get their personal computer running smoothly? Here to give us a cheat sheet is Joel Johnson of Wired.com. He's also the head of the tech clinic at Popular Mechanics, and he's in our bureau in New York City. Nice to have you on the program today.
Hey, thanks.
And we want to hear from listeners as well. Are you IT for your parents? If you have a question about the easiest hacks and downloads to give to your folks this holiday season, let us know. Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. And the email address is talk@npr.org. And Joel, to begin with, your parents' computer, they run it beautifully?
It depends on which parent you're talking about. One of my parents is pretty proficient, and the other one is not dumb. In fact, he's a pretty smart guy, and I guess I just
gave it away. Yeah.
I guess made it. Sorry, Dad. But you know, he can build a TV out of tubes and you know, bits of string, but he can't figure out that you can run more than one application at a time. So, but so, you know, like everybody thinks their parents are dumb and you know, it's not the case. That computing is a weird metaphor, so it's if you haven't grown up with it, it ends up being strange.
Yeah. First of all, I mean, don't you risk mystifying your parents even more when you come up and you know, speak this weird techno jargon that they don't understand?
Well, I don't think you should speak that jargon to them at all. Just go fix it and make sure they can check their email and browse the web, and that should take care of it.
Mm-hmm. So what should you take with you if you're possibly not web-savvy folks might not have?
Well, hopefully they would have a good internet connection. And if they have a good internet connection, you can download almost everything you need right there.
Uh-huh.
If they don't, then you can try to copy files to a CD and burn them and take them over there. But I don't know. That's a little bit hopeless at that point, too. So my first suggestion is probably to get them on the Firefox internet browser, mm-hmm. Which is it's just a web browser, basically. It's also a framework for all sorts of cool plugins and things like that that would probably mystify them and make them confused.
But I understand. And me, too. I, you say Firefox. I think of a Clint Eastwood movie. You know, he stole that jet from the Soviet Union. It was pretty cool.
Well, yeah, then you must be a parent because I
indeed
I
am.
Talking about. Okay. But I mean, the cool thing about Firefox is it blocks everything. Well, not everything, but it does a better job than Internet Explorer does in blocking spyware and files you don't want them downloading and all that stuff.
So it's McAfee is another.
McAfee is a virus scanner or a company that makes a virus scanner. And they definitely want a virus scanner of some sort. It's one of the relatively crucial things that doesn't come with Windows out of the box for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
So McAfee, you know, makes an all right one. There's a free one from a company called GRISoft.com called AVG, and that's pretty good too.
Mm-hmm. Here's an email we got from Adam in San Antonio. Great topic. It's now as common as the welcome back dinner. Every time I go back home, I have to fix the computer. It's usually loaded with spyware, icons for poker, triple X sites, and so on. The best thing I ever did was to download the Mozilla Firefox browser. Now the computer is still bad, but not nearly as bad.
I agree. I don't know what else to say. I just said that.
Yeah.
No, I mean, Firefox is great, and it doesn't protect everything, and there's certainly that you'll want them to make sure, or you'll want to make sure that they have a firewall set up, and a firewall being different than Firefox. Firefox is the web browser, whereas a firewall is a program that blocks unwanted intrusions into their computer. And Windows, actually, the most recent versions of Windows come with a firewall built in. But you might want to dig in there and make sure it's actually turned on, because sometimes people turn it off.
Mm-hmm. Let's see if we get a caller on the line. And by the way, if you'd like to join us, it's 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. And our email address is talk@npr.org. Let's begin with Nate. Nate calling us from Phoenix, Arizona.
Hi, Neil. Thanks for taking my call.
Uh-huh.
And actually, I love Wired Magazine. I actually bought some subscriptions for some friends this year. So anyway, I was calling because, you know, a couple years ago, I was always having that same problem. And I know this is going to sound like a bad commercial, but I ended up, when my parents wanted a new computer, 2 years ago, I told them to buy an Apple, and I haven't had to fix one since, which has been awesome.
Is that a recommendation that could come in handy, Joel Johnson?
Well, you know, I love Apple computers. I think they make really good computers. I probably like my Apple laptop more than, you know, even an iPod or something like that. The one good thing about Apples now is that Apples, for various technical reasons that I'm not going to go into, can now run Windows too. You can either reboot and load Windows up instead of OS 10, which is the default operating system. And there's even a program called Parallels, which I actually just bought for my little sister who's switching from Windows to Mac. And Parallels allows you to run Windows applications inside of OS 10. So it's pretty great, and I would definitely suggest it. I would say that the one caveat is that if you're taking somebody who isn't, you know, totally familiar with using a computer in the first place, and you take them from Windows and you put them in OS 10 on a Mac, then there's yet another learning curve that they're going to have to go through. Mm-hmm. And they're good computers, but, you know, just be mindful.
That's true. I've been training them. How's that? I haven't had to fix anything, but certainly I've had to, like, help them learn stuff. But, you know, they've liked it.
Hey, it's small repayment for Christmas dinner.
Yeah.
thanks for the call, Nate. And just to clarify, as I understand it, Macs, for various reasons, are less vulnerable to most viruses than PCs.
Yeah, broadly that's true. Like, there's certainly doesn't rule out the case that sometime in the future somebody could write a virus for that would affect Macintoshes. But they're based on a kind of more secure operating system called Unix that isn't invulnerable, but it's more secure than Windows traditionally has been.
Let's get Jeff on the line. Jeff is calling us from Portland, Oregon.
Hi, Neil.
Hi.
This topic really strikes home because I got interested in computers and took it upon myself to build them. And then I thought, well, I'm going to share this great value with my family. And so, you know, you build everyone for the family members. And pretty soon you become the only tech support line. And it got to a point where it was really out of hand. And so much so that the last time when my mother asked for a new computer, I sent her to Dell.
So as opposed to taking her, walking her through the steps, which you might have done the last time she wanted a new computer.
Well, yeah, instead of saying, well, gee, you know, I can go find you a computer and setting it up and all that and so forth, you know, it really did get out of hand. And so, I've now turned them on to the vendor who can support that themselves.
So there is a limit to filial IT support.
I was going to say, exactly.
Okay, Jeff, thanks very much.
Thank you.
And I wonder, Joel, this must happen to you all the time. I mean, it's as bad as being a doctor at a party. You know, my back hurts. What do you think? People must come up to you all the time and say, what do I do when this happens or that happens?
Yeah, I usually just play dumb or make sure that I'm, you know, have a drink in my hand or something because, like, there's definitely that point where you tell your parents, I'm never going to do this again. Like, you're just going to have to deal with it. You know, if you want, you know, they don't come to me to ask them to fix their cars and things like that, probably because I don't know how to fix cars. But, you know, there is a point where maybe it's worth paying for a support plan for them from Dell or Apple or whoever it is that they mm-hmm. actually buy their hardware from. But, I mean, what are you going to do? It's family, and you get back home, you get suckered into doing stuff you don't want to do.
Would you recommend, I mean, there are all kinds of companies, geek squads, those kinds of companies that will come out to your house and fix your computer problems for you. Do you recommend any of those?
Not specifically, but I know lots of people have good luck with them. So, well, lots of people have bad luck with certain ones, too. But I actually think the best thing you can do, there's still a surprising amount of, like, mom and pop or just one guy out of his basement kind of tech shops. And some of those guys are idiots and some of them aren't. But you can end up getting really good deals and kind of good relationships with those guys if you look on the internet for local computer people or on Craigslist or something like that.
So you have to begin by looking on the internet. That's where the problem is.
You got to do it for them.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see if we can get another caller on the line. This is Linda. Linda with us from Riverside, California.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, we recently talked my father into getting a computer, and he's very interested in the internet and looking things up. But I wanted to broaden his knowledge, and I don't know enough to do it, but to download some music and that he could maybe make some CDs and put them on his car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's totally doable. iTunes is the major one. That's the one from Apple, and you don't have to have an iPod to use iTunes. You can buy music for a buck a song and download it and burn CDs, and it's easy. There's another one from Real Networks called Rhapsody, and that one has all the same kind of ideas as iTunes, and then it also has a subscription service where you can pay, I think it's $15 a month, and you can download and listen to on the computer as much as you want. Now, you'd still have to pay a buck a song to download the song and burn it, but I'd check out either one of those. Mm-hmm. They're both pretty good.
Right. Okay, and so I was told that, you know, through Napster, that there was something that it wasn't compatible with the CD in the car. Is that going to happen with either one of these?
Without getting too technical about it, any audio CD that you burn out of Napster or Rhapsody or iTunes or any of these things is in a format called Redbook, and that should be compatible with every CD player pretty much that's ever been made. Okay. So just make sure that it's burning an audio CD and not burning the actual files to the CD as data. Mm-hmm. So a little confusing, but that's the default that's the default behavior of most of these programs.
Okay. Well, hope that helps. Thanks a lot.
Good luck, Linda.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We're talking with Joel Johnson of Wired Magazine about how to help your parents clean up their computer troubles when you visit home for the holidays. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And here's an email we got from Don in San Ramon, California. We got my 89-year-old mother a web TV set up 5 years ago. She can do almost everything, email and browsing. And after seeing my sister's PC problems, frequently emphasizes she does not want a real computer. So is a technological downgrade sometimes the best option for some people?
You know, whatever works, really. I think for the most part... you know, I spend all day on the internet, so I feel like if you didn't have a full-blown computer, I would be somebody chopped a limb off. But I think most people that aren't plugged into the internet all day, they're fine with checking email occasionally or getting a picture or, you know, any just the real basic stuff. And if an old computer is doing the job, or if web TV is doing the job, or one of those old crusty internet appliances does the job, I say go for it.
Jim in Los Gatos, California, emails, what software can I use to help my parents with their PCs from my home 200 miles away? What's a good solution for controlling and fixing their computer remotely?
So in most of the recent versions of Windows, there's actually something built in called Remote Desktop. And that's Remote Desktop is really cool. Like you can just basically dial into their computer, assuming that they're on the internet as well. And it gives you inside of a window on your computer. It's like you're controlling their computer. And if you can get that all set up and get the security all down and stuff like that, which is pretty easy, then it's really anytime they have a problem, rather than trying to walk them through and say, okay, now click this and what window do you have open and read to me what's on your screen, you can just use Remote Desktop to actually do it and just take care of it for them.
Or drive the 200 miles home for dinner. What's the big problem, Jim? Anyway, let's get another caller on the line. This is Benny. Benny from Portland, Oregon.
Hi. Yeah, it's funny. You just had that on the call in there. I actually have that same thing. I loaded a program called VNC.
Yeah, VNC is like I don't think it's totally open source, but it's like a free equivalent of Remote Desktop.
Sure, and it's great because my parents live 900 miles away, and I can go in and run updates on their computer or just fix things when they have problems.
And how often does that happen, Benny?
It's, I get, you know, once or twice a month I'll get a call, and then if I'm doing nothing and I'm on the computer already, it's really easy for me to open a VNC window and just go into their system and just run their updates for them.
So, and you've managed to clear up most of their problems or all of their problems?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, they're mostly just email users. So, you know, I already have them on Mozilla, and that's really taken care of most of the problems for me.
Cool. Thanks.
It's kind of nice. That way I go back for Christmas, and it's just Christmas dinner, not Christmas IT service.
And not Christmas IT service. So, yeah, you can enjoy the eggnog first thing.
Yeah,
and spread the pain all year long.
Benny, thanks for the call.
It's easier that way.
Good luck.
Bye-bye.
Let's go to Jim. Jim is calling us from Jacksonville in Florida. Hey, Jim, you there?
I'm here, yes.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, I just want to comment that just for the record, it's not always the kids fixing the parents. I'm a grandfather, and I've been in the computer world since 1960, so I'm the one who does the repair action when I go visiting.
When you go visit the kids, they're saying, hey, Gramps, how do we fix this problem?
Exactly, and the newest thing is setting up iChat on my daughter's machine so that I can talk and look at my grandson from California.
And that must be very rewarding.
that is. That's if anybody out there is thinking about it, it is a great, great thing to do.
And that is it complicated to set up that little web camera so that they can you guys can see each other?
No, not really. I use a Mac, and it's just autopilot. In fact, my new Mac laptop has an integrated camera.
So we know what your grandparents or your grandchildren are getting for Christmas, I guess.
Actually, my grandson bought them a new Mac, and that's what I used to set it up.
Jim, thanks very much, and have a happy holiday.
Thank you. You too.
Bye-bye. Any last pieces of advice, Joel Johnson, before we let you go?
You know, the only thing that I thought would be kind of basic but interesting that people should try to do is, you know, clean up the computer, do all that stuff. But you might want to teach your parents a few shortcuts, like the Control-C, Control-X, Control-V, cut, copy, paste stuff. It's really basic, but I know a lot of people don't know how to do that, and it makes the whole experience go a lot better. And it works on Mac and PC.
Here's an email we got from JJ. An idea for a gift for parents might be a basic internet skills class at a local community college or senior center.
Yes, that would be good.
But then you wouldn't get the dinner out of a deal. So anyway, Joel, thanks very much for being with us today.
Yeah, no problem.
Joel Johnson from Wired.com joined us from our bureau in New York. He also writes the Tech Clinic column at Popular Mechanics. Tomorrow, Ira Flatow will be here with Science Friday. We'll see you on Monday, Christmas Day. Have a happy holiday, everybody. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.